Would you turn with me in to the book of 1 Timothy, be in chapter 3 momentarily. What we're going to be talking today is about deacon, specifically the deacon overview and then the office of the deacon. I'm going to continue on because so many of you have mentioned to me that you enjoyed so much my giving you the outlines and so forth so that you can take notes more specifically and know more what I'm after, what we're heading for, my points. And so I want to continue on with that. So today what we're going to be talking about is the deacon. And then I'll give you the purpose as we go through our outline. Deacons. My purpose today is to educate our body on the ministry and office of a deacon. Now, I want to make sure that we understand not only the office of, but the ministry of a deacon. That's primary. Then secondly, I want to solicit help in approaching individuals and appointing. Let me reread that. I want to solicit your help in appointing individuals to the office of a deacon. Over the past two elders meetings, we have been discussing the deacons. We have many people in our church, in our fellowship, who have this ability. And so we have been spending probably 4 hours now or so just discussing and making sure that we are on track and doing what the Bible says to do concerning the office of a deacon. What I want to show you today is that the traditional thinkings of man about the office of a deacon is erroneous. Basically, what we have been told or thought about the office of a deacon is not right, and what we will see today is a more practical and a more purer application of the office of a deacon. So my purpose today is to educate us on that office, the purpose of it, and then to solicit your help in the appointing of some men and women, and notice how I said that, to these offices. We'll be developing all of this. First scripture that we're going to be looking at is in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. We'll be looking at the deacon. It is right there that it gives us the requirements, are what we want to look at as a scrutinizing of these particular individuals. We'll find out there are three Greek words that are translated deacon in your New Testament Greek. Diakonio, diakonia, and deaconos, or diakonos. And so that's what we want to look at. We will find out those mean to be an attendant or an attendance as a servant, to aid, to service, to wait upon, to be a waiter. Those are what all three of those words mean. We'll look at then specifically at the office of a deacon. We want to find out what this really means. What is it? What is an office of a deacon? We want to do a word study back up here. What it means. We're going to do a word study. Then we're going to look at the office of it. I'll show you that I'm commanded to scrutinize a person who will come into an office of a deacon. There is a probation time, a time of proving and testing. They must be found blameless. There are three areas of their life I must look at: spiritual qualifications, character qualifications, and domestic qualifications. They must meet specific requirements to serve this office, not serve as an attendant or be a servant of the house of God, but to come into this office of the deacon, they must be scrutinized and must meet these requirements. Three ways of appointment. Number three, ways of appointment. There are two ways of appointment, okay? First of all, there is the appointment. I have the authority as the overseer of the church to appoint. Paul and Barnabas went about appointing, and he told Timothy to appoint. And so I have that authority. But also we find out in Acts chapter 6, which is going to give us our picture of it, that there are also an appointment that you can do. And that's what we're going to try to do. We're going to try to step into this time and look at it this way. Once you understand what its purpose really is, you'll find out that there's a choosing by the brethren and then appointed by the leadership. And then second scripture that we're going to be looking at is the picture that we're giving in Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. We'll find out that the office itself sprang from a need. Then it was projected to the brethren, the saints, who took this need and then chose out from among them. They were given qualifications and guidelines, and they responded, and then they appointed. So the third scripture that we're going to look at, and finally, is in Romans chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, concerning the deaconess. Well, we're going to do it until about 10 till, okay? Maybe. Or whenever I get done. 10 till or whichever comes, or until I get done, whichever comes first. Okay. The word deacon, you are there in in the third chapter. We're about to read about the office of a deacon. And what I want to first of all show you is some word study before we even read the passage, so that you'll have an understanding when you read this, what we're reading. First of all, there are three Greek words, as I've already said. This particular one, diakonio, is used 37 times in New Testament Greek, and it means an attendant or to wait upon. Here are the ways that that one word is translated. I think this one's 10 ways. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. This one word is translated 10 times. Two of those ways is used as deacon. Out of 37 times, 35 of those times are used in some other translation. Twice it's used as deacon. Same Greek word. It's translated ministered, minister, serve, serveth, administrating, served, and then twice in the form of deacon. Then, diakonia is another word that's translated deacon, and this word is used 34 times. It means attendance as a servant to aid in service. 16 times ministry, 6 times administration, 3 times ministering, 3 times service, 1 time serving, 1 time relief, 1 time office, 1 time administration, 1 time administration, and 1 time deacon. Now, before I look at the third one, can we see that the same word is used for many, many, many other words other than a deacon? In total, this word, these three words are used 101 times in New Testament Greek, and only 6 of those times is it translated deacon. My point that I want us to see off the top is that we are all supposed to be deacons. Okay? Jesus says, and I want to read the scripture in just a second, and Jesus says that the greatest in the kingdom of God is the servant of all. So what we understand and what he tells us to do is that we all should be serving. And that word servant there is the Greek word diakonio, and that means that we all should be servants, we all should be deacons. But there's a differentiation in the scriptures between those that serve and those that serve in the office of. And what I'm aiming at, what I want clarity on, is not people that serve, but people that will serve in the office of. I want to show you the difference. How do you come into the office of? What's the difference? So this is what I'm pointing at right now. I want you to understand that God's purpose for all of us is to serve somebody or something in the kingdom of God. If you want to excel in the kingdom, and we'll see it in just a second, then you've got to learn to serve. Then the third word, diakonios, or diakonos, however that it's really said, it means an attendant or a waiter. It's used 30 times. It's 14 times minister, 6 times ministers, servants, and 3 times as deacon. Now, 30 times it's translated 5 times in 5 different words. Now, here's an overview of all of those words that we've looked at, 101 times that word, those three words are used that are translated deacon. There's an overview of them. So 3 words used 101 times, translated 20 different words as deacon. So when Paul talks about the office of a deacon are those that serve as a deacon. When he writes to the church at Philippi in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1, and he says, Paul and Timotheus, writing unto you, the elders and deacons and saints, when he speaks of these particular individuals and points, he's talking about an office of, something that's a little unique, a little different from the saint who serves in the house of God. This is somebody that is brought into a point, into a place. We'll talk about the 7 deacons in just a second. But even out of those 7, there were 2 or 3 that excelled. Am I right? Stephen and Philip. Remember, they excelled. You talk about the 12 apostles. In the 12 apostles, there are some that will come to your mind immediately. Who are some that come to your mind immediately in the 12? Peter? James? John? Give me one you don't even think of. You did think of it. Give me one you don't think of. That's a joke, isn't it? I never was very good at jokes. My jokes are too hard or something. Anyway, we understand. We understand. The principle is that in everything, somebody's going to arise. Out of all the servants in the house of God, somebody's going to arise into the place of a specific office and an oversight, overseeing view. In the scriptures, I want to explain these things first so that as we go through it and as we read it, you have a more pointed understanding of it. In the church, there are 3 offices that are specifically given in the governmenting of a church. First of all, King James calls it the bishop. NIV, NASV says the overseer. This specifically would speak of my position. It is the person who is responsible, ultimately responsible for the functioning of the church. He is the bishop or the overseer. He is the person that oversees the work of the ministry. He is the person that is ultimately responsible for the success or the failure of that particular work. He is the person who will be looked at as the one who has the authority over the entire overview of the work. And secondly, there are the elders. In an eldership, elders come together. The primary purpose of an elder is to minister to people. We saw that. They are to relay to the people what the Lord God is saying to the body. This is why an elder must be given to hospitality. An elder must be kind of a person that will minister to people, have people in their homes, go to other folks' homes, and minister to them what God is really saying to that particular body or that local assembly. And then thirdly, we have the deacons. Now, the ministry of the deacons is what we're trying to look at today. The primary ministry of the deacon is to serve that body, but not just come in and just do whatever they want to do. I'm going to develop this. You'll see as we develop this, there are specific jobs and duties given to these individuals to carry out. And this is what we're talking about here when we talk about these offices that we will now read in 1 Timothy chapter 3, beginning there. Let's start. Let me read verses 14 and 15 first, and then we'll read down through verses 1 through 13. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. Paul is writing Timothy, who he has set as the overseer of this work. He's set as the overseer, and he says, I'm writing these things to you, and I'm hoping I'm going to get to you shortly. And then verse 15, but if I tarry long, if I don't get there quick, I write these things so that thou mayest know how you oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. See, he says, I want to write you these things so that if I don't get there, I want to come and help you establish it, Timothy. I want to come and help you get it set up. I want to help you get to do it right. He says, but if I don't get there when I need to, I want to write you these things. And if I tarry and I can't get there when I need to, I want you to know how to do it. How many is glad he wrote this? We have a record now of what the early church thought and what they had to go by when they established the deacon. Now, verse 1. Apostle Paul writes and he says, this is a true saying. If a man desires the office of a bishop, or if you have another version, it may be overseer. How many's got an overseer there? I like overseer, okay? I don't look at myself as a bishop, but I do see myself as an overseer of this particular work. God has put me here. It's not something that I put myself into or that I was voted into. It was a way that the Lord just worked out things and did things, and he set me here. So it's an overseer. I like that thought, overseer. Bishop kind of sounds too far out there or something. I don't know. But I do see myself as an overseer. So let me say that. An overseer then must be blameless. Not faultless. I've got faults. But as I look at my life, it's pretty blameless. You won't find very many areas of my life to find blaming. Okay? You can look at my life in most any area that you want to, and you won't find very many places that you can blame me for doing something wrong. Blameless. The husband of one wife. The way we interpret that here in this body, in this assembly, is a guy that's married to one woman. I believe it means exactly what it says in the Bible, a husband of one wife. I believe that if Paul meant here that he wanted you never to have been divorced, I believe he would have said, a man never divorced. I don't believe he would have put here a husband of one wife, and then right over in 1 Corinthians and say, if an unbeliever leaves, let him leave. I don't believe he would have done that. So when I understand scriptures and the study of the scriptures and the understanding and the peace that I have in my heart and understanding people and working with people and being with people, I'm telling you, he means here, husband of one wife, not a bigamist, not an immoral person, but a person who's given themselves to one woman. Husband of one wife, diligent, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality and aptitude. Not given to wine, not striker, not a fighter, not a guy that goes around beating up on people, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous. One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with gravity. That word gravity means proper respect. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Hello? I think that was the Lord saying amen. Not a novice. A lot of people jump into ministry, folks. I'm telling you, they get ate up. If you're not a novice, if you're following a novice, then man, it's going to be tough. Find somebody that's been around it for a little while. Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without. In other words, the city needs to think good of him. He needs the city needs to have a good attitude and respect for him, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Likewise must the deacons. Now, how many see here, as we begin looking at the deacons, that there is an association between my qualifications and their qualifications? You see that? These qualifications also are flowing down into the deacons. Likewise must the deacons. Likewise must the deacons be grave. That means serious. Not double-tongued. In other words, they don't need to be talking to the people one way and to be another. Not given to much wine. Not greedy or filthy lucre. Have their money matters in order. And we'll talk about all this. I'm just really reading through it. Holding the mystery of the faith and the pure conscience. And let these also first be proved. Say that. Say they must be proved. Must be proved. Let these also first be proved. Then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Now the NASB and the NIV both say serve, as in serve. A serve is a deacon. But it's specifically talking about something special. It's the office of or serving as a deacon. Grave, where was that? Okay. Being found blameless. Again, that's not faultless. That's being able to look into their lives, look at their lives, and there should be no places in their lives that I can point and say, man, this is really out of order. Verse 11. Even so must their wives be grave. Now, if you have another version, it would probably say even so women. See, what he's relating it here to is their wives. But it also can relate to women. These are the qualifications for women. But either way, if it's the husband or if it's the woman, they must be grave. They must be serious. They must not be slanderers. Must be sober, faithful in all things. Faithful in all things. Women that are faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wives, ruling their children and their own house as well. How many see there's a relationship between my qualifications and their qualifications? You see this? Likewise, also must the deacons. For they have used the office of a deacon well, purchased to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. These things write I unto thee. We've already read it. So he's writing here the qualifications of these individuals who will serve in the church, who will set the government and set the standards for the church. And he says, I'll write them to you so that you can get it set up right, so that it will be in your city a pillar. It will be in your city a place for truth. It will be established upon the right things. And when people come in there, they will see blameless people. Not faultless people, but people who have their lives in order. People who are working and striving to do what they need to do. Now, let's look at some verses. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Let's look at some different versions. We've talked about the three words. It says, let them be first proved. Then let them use the office of a deacon being found blameless. NIV Bible says, they must first be tested. And then if there is nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. The NASB Bible says, and let these also first be tested. Then let them serve as deacons if they are beyond reproach. And then verse 13 talks about those that use the office of a deacon, those that go into the office of a deacon. What you really do is you're purchasing for yourself a good degree and great boldness in the faith. There is a work. The people that excel into this place, that have their lives in order, that come into this aspect, in this place of servitude and ministry, where they are purchasing for themselves, where you're grasping for your own self, a great assurance in your faith. When you're ministering and you're ministering to people and you're purchasing for yourself, when you're doing something in the kingdom, you're purchasing for yourself. For those that have served well as deacons, obtain for themselves a high standing and great confidence in the faith that is in Jesus Christ. Let these first be proved. Now, what's going to go through these things and look at the verses and talk about those and the probation time and these kinds of things. But first of all, I want to talk about the testing. They must first be tested. NIV Bible says first be tested. And if there is nothing against them, and then the NASB Bible says first be tested, and if they are beyond reproach. Now, you've got to understand that churches get themselves in trouble by putting unqualified people into offices of leadership. Putting people in because they don't want to lose the people. Putting people into those offices because they don't want them to leave and go to another church or go someplace else. They bring them in because they're a good guy or a good gal, and they put them into some form of leadership without ever really testing them or knowing them or proving that they're really serious about what they're called and purpose to do. This word prove here in verse 10, it means to test and to be approved. And as you trace it down, you find that it means acceptable and to think. See, you've got to understand that before the Bible clearly tells me that I have a command to test their lives. The difference between a person who serves and comes in, vacuums floors and cleans up the bathrooms and cuts the grass and does whatever is necessary to do here, the person who is functioning in a deaconship or is a deacon but not in the office of a deacon, there's no scrutiny going on in their lives. We just praise God and thank God that you're here doing it. But when you come to this office of the deacon, I am commanded in the Scriptures to scrutinize the life of that individual. I am commanded to prove and test that person. It's not optional. That person must prove themselves. That person must be tested to find out if they have the qualifications, if their life is blameless, if they have a life that is in order to serve into the office of a church. I've got to spend time with them. I've got to test them, approve them. I've got to find out if they're acceptable to this thing. I've got to learn how they think. It must be found blameless. That word prove there, that's what it means, test, approve. But the word blameless means unaccused. There must not be any area of their life that they are accused in, that they're having some real great problem. Tracing it on down. Uh-oh. That didn't work out well. I want you to see this. Help me, Jesus. Oops. Uh-oh. Ah. Blameless. I got to find page 6. There it is, page 6. There it is. It's up there. I think I did it right the first time. 6. There it is. When you trace it down, that word blameless, it means calling a debt, being to account. I have to look at their finances. Out of the abundance of the heart, the things come forth. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the treasures of the heart comes the giving. I've got to be able to look at every area of that person. I've got to find out how they think about everything. It's not optional. This is a command of the Scriptures. Do you see this? I don't just get to pick who I want and when I want and how I want, but guys I like or guys that don't want to go across the street or down the street to another church. What I've got to do is be able to scrutinize their life and see what they really have inside. And so there's a testing and a proving. There's a time of probation that must come across. And these three, in this testing and proving and finding blameless, is looking at an individual's life in basically three areas. First area, you got to look at their spiritual qualifications. Are they spiritual? Are they full of the Holy Ghost? Full of wisdom? Do they hold the mysteries of the faith? See, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 9 says, hold the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. Now in Acts chapter 6, and we're going to be looking at that shortly, but in Acts chapter 6 it says, choose out from among you 7 men full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. Now, how'd they know they were full of the Holy Ghost? Talk to me. Spoke in tongues. See, do you know that 1 Corinthians chapter 14 says that tongues is a sign to the believer? Do you know that in Mark chapter 16, it says that these signs shall follow them that believe, they shall speak in new tongues? Do you know that speaking in tongues is a sign of the believer? Now, we don't believe that today, but that's the Bible. How'd they know they were full of the Holy Ghost, Steve? They prayed with them. Spent time with them. Paul was there with those guys in Ephesians chapter 19. And he's with them. They were believers. They said they were. He's missing something. Have you received since you believed? And so he laid hands on them. You know the story. But you've got to understand. You've got to spend time with these people. What are their spiritual qualifications? Where are they at in God? Are they full of the Holy Ghost? Do they have wisdom? Do they understand the mysteries of the faith? Do they have something that they can take and give to people? Second qualifications is their character. You got to look at their character. 1 Timothy 3:8 says, likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre. Those are just a few. That whole third chapter is dealing with the characteristics of individuals. But they have to be sincere. They have to be honest. They can't be double-tongued. They can't be running around talking to people one thing and then come back and talking to another. They can't be doing this and then coming back and saying that. They're not given to much wine. They're not greedy. In other words, their finances are all in order. They're blameless. Not accusing the law. They have a good report in your area. People are who know them have a good report of them. I like to talk to people. Did so-and-so go to your church? I was at some place the other day, and they asked me, said, don't Don Dowd go to your church? And I said, yeah. They said, he's a good man. Man, somebody back over here said amen. This guy back here in the blue. But I mean, I like that. I like them to have a good report in the area. And you go to places of business, well, who's in your church? And you start calling out, oh, yeah, they're good men, good women. Yeah, they're blameless. See, they have a good report in the area. Then the third area that I must look at, it's a qualification. This is a commandment of what we must scrutinize the life with. And I'm not talking about just, well, it's okay. This is scrutinized. The office of a deacon, the people in the office of a deacon, they come to a scrutinizing. They're put under a microscope. So is it with the bishop, and so is it with an elder. This is why the Bible says to do this. Look at these people. Make sure these qualifications are there. They're lying. Not a bigamist. Husband of one wife. Rule his own house well. The wife must be sincere, reverent, not a slanderer, not a gossiper, faithful in all things. Rule their children well. Children who believe. Now, how many knows that this is the kind of leadership you really want? And this is the only kind of leadership you can really build upon. And the better the foundation, the greater the structure. Am I right? And without, if you start getting flawed foundations, you're going to get a flawed structure. So what we want to do, what we want to understand, is that we're not talking about just the person who serves the church, cuts the grass, doesn't. Now, a deacon may do that as well. But we're talking about here something in the office of a deacon. The office of. Something that's a little different from the normal servant. We're talking about somebody who allows their life to be scrutinized and come to the place where they say, yeah, I meet these qualifications. Now, ways of appointment. There are two. First of all, they're set by leadership. Titus 1:5, Paul tells Timothy, he says, I want you to go to Crete. That's why I left you in Crete. You can set in order the things that are wanting and obtain elders in every city. In Crete, the church was out of order. You can read 1 Timothy and you can find some of the things they were fighting with, having all kinds of problems in 1 Timothy. He's setting all these things in order. He says, I write these things to you so you can set these things in order. And I want you to go, this is one of the first things I want you to do, is I want you to ordain elders in every city. I want you to appoint them. You do it, Timothy. So I understand that the overseer has the authority to appoint. The NIV Bible says, for the reason I left you in Crete was that you might straighten out that what was left unfinished and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. For this reason I left you in Crete, NASB Bible says, that you might set in order what remains and appoint elders in every city as I directed you. Then in Acts chapter 14, it talks about he and Barnabas, as they were establishing the churches in Asia, that they were going around ordaining or setting in order in elders in the churches. So I understand that I have the authority in the scriptures to appoint. I understand that. But I also know that in Acts chapter 6, it tells us something else. It tells us something more. And this is where I'm heading today. And the reason I'm preaching all of this and saying all of this is I want to educate you, because I'm going to ask you at the conclusion, I'm going to give you a piece of paper. I'm going to ask you for five names, men or women. And I'm going to ask you for a specific job that you feel like this particular person would be good for. And I want you to tell me who you feel like would be. Now, it's not a ballot. And we're not voting. But I want you to choose out from among you. I want to see what you think. So we know in Acts chapter 6, the story. Turn there. Your Bible. This is the second scripture. Acts chapter 6 gives us a unique story. So much is there. I just took this several days this week and allowed the Holy Spirit to minister to me. I just asked Him to remove all the traditions of men and doctrines of devils that had been put into me over the years by myself and by others, and allow me to really see what was in this writing here in Acts chapter 6. And what we see is a beautiful cooperation between the people and the leadership. And we see that they came into a place of understanding and anointing and appointing deacons who served And then after they did this correctly, it says the word of God spread. And so what we want to do now is look at this. I look at the different versions. But in Acts chapter 6 and verse 1, and I really want you to pay attention because it's from this I want you to draw and give me five names. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Notice that in this perfect church, with the apostles that walked with Jesus, Peter, who could raise the dead and walk on water, with John and James and these people who had been with Jesus, had touched, handled the word of life, that in their church, there was a murmuring. And I want to tell you, I don't care how great the church is, there's going to be problems. There's going to be murmurings. There's going to be complaints. But out of these problems and these murmurings and the complaints sprang the ministry of the deacon. Now that's foundational. You've got to get that. Monty, they didn't choose the deacons because they were the best looking, best dressed guys in the church. Did you know that? The reason they even looked for them was because they had a problem. So what? And the problem was this: in this particular church, at the day of Pentecost, there was all these foreign Jews there. Would you call them foreign? Completed Jews is what we call them now. Grecian Jews, the Greeks that were converted and proselyted and became Hebraistic or Jews or whatever. Anyway, they were in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, and when the Holy Ghost fell and the church exploded and grew to 2,000 and then 4,000, all of a sudden we had this influx of people and no jobs. And they didn't go home. They stayed there. I mean, the Holy Spirit was so powerful and so good, they didn't want to leave. They stayed. And a lot of these people were widows and there was no jobs. And so they stayed and somebody had to take care of them. Well, what was happening is the Jews or the Hebrews were taking care of theirs. They were doing a good job. They were making sure they were fed. They were making sure they were fed. They were making sure that they were taken care of. They were really ministering to them. But it wasn't true with the Greeks. The Greeks weren't taking care of theirs. The Greeks would just let them kind of go. And so there became this complaint. There came this murmuring. And they said, well, you know, hey, our widows are being neglected. NIV Bible says, in those days when the number of the disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the the Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. And the NASB says something similar. But there was a complaint. Then it was projected to the brethren. Before I leave it, though, I want us to grasp the truth that the need for the deacon springs from the need in the body. We don't have this particular need here. Okay, am I right? We don't have any widows that aren't getting fed. But we do have needs. And so the primary, the base foundation of the five names that you're going to write, I want you to come from a need. What is the need in our church? What is it that I'm complaining about? What is it that Delbert and the elders don't have time to take care of? And I don't like it. From that, give me five names and five people that'll do it. And you know I'm all in it. You know I got it. I have got a revelation on this. This is great. Understand that it's from the need that you choose the people. You don't choose the people and then give them something to do. You see, that's where the church has missed it. We get the best dressed ones, the ones with money, the ones that drive the nicest cars, the ones we don't want to go across the street or down the street, the ones we really want to keep, and we make them a deacon. Tell me I'm not telling you the truth. You know I'm telling you the truth. That's the way the church works today. We got it so backwards, we're so turned upside down. What we do is we find a need, and then we appoint somebody to do it. And it was projected to the saints, to the brethren. Wherefore, brethren, look ye among you. NIV says, choose seven men from among you. Select from among you. What we need is not complaints. What we need is somebody that'll do the job. What we need is to stop complaining. And I know that we've always interpreted this verse that we can give ourselves to the word and prayer. But I want to suggest to you that that's saying for the whole body. Let us give some people these specific things to do so that we all can give ourselves to the word and prayer. And stop complaining. It's my birthday. Help me. Come on. Is this all right? And that's the word of God. Then there was the qualifications and guidelines. This is what I'm doing to you for right now. I'm giving you qualifications and guidelines. Peter preached to him, or whoever that it was. He says, here's what we want you to do. Wherefore, brother, look ye out among you seven men, honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. We've already talked about how they knew that. Whom we may appoint over this business. The NIV says, brothers, choose seven men from among you who are known to be full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. Again, you know, I really do want to suggest this to you. How do they know they were full of the Holy Ghost? You know, and wisdom. How do they know they were full of wisdom? We will turn this responsibility over to them, that we may appoint to this business, that we can turn the responsibility over to them. And NASB Bible says, whom we may put in charge of this task. Now hear this. What is the bottom line to the qualification in this passage of a deacon? What have you always heard was the bottom line of a qualification in this passage of a deacon? What you've always heard is Holy Ghost and wisdom. Am I right? Well, they chose out from among them seven men full of Holy Ghost and wisdom. I submit to you, that's not the bottom line. I don't care if Stephen could fly and could talk in tongues and prophesy all day long. If he couldn't minister to people, if he couldn't take these women food, if he couldn't go and do what they needed done, they didn't need him. Am I right? I don't care how spiritual you are if you fly, but if you don't have time to vacuum the floor, you can't do it. Right? If we have somebody watching over the yards and cutting the grass, but you don't have time to do it, then listen. You've got all the qualifications, except you won't let us assign you to that task. See, the bottom line is people that I can give something to do, and they'll do it. So that we all can give ourselves to the prayer and word. Am I right? See, the bottom line, folks, is not somebody that can talk in tongues and prophesy. That's wonderful. They need to be able to do that. Stephen could do it, work miracles. Philip could do it. But the bottom line is, will they do what we need to get done? See, we get it so messed up. We want people that's got all these glitz and glamours, but can't do the job. Bottom line is, can they do the job? Okay. Qualifications and guidelines are set. The bottom line being, whom we may appoint over this task, over this business. And then I like what NASV says, that we may put in charge of this task. See, I want you to give me five people that we can put in charge of a task and they'll do it. That I won't hear a complaint. That we can give ourselves to ministering to people. That things will just get taken care of. I want to read this to you. I wrote this. From the need came the appointment. It was clear what their service would be before they were appointed. Listen, here is where I have messed up over the years. I've got good guys or good women or whatever. I've got good people, but I wasn't getting the job done. See, these people knew what they were supposed to do before they were appointed and had hands laid on them for the office of a deacon. They knew that their duty was going to be to take these women food, to make sure that this job got taken care of, that these ladies got ministered to. They knew it before they had hands laid on them. They knew exactly what they were supposed and expected to do. See, where I've messed up over the years is I got the guys that had the Holy Ghost and some wisdom and had their maybe blameless and all, but I couldn't get the job done. I still had to do it all. And that's praise God, been lifted off somewhat. But I found myself doing everything. Well, see, I want to fix it. I want people to know exactly what they are expected to do and will tell me that they will do it before we put them in the office. They were not appointed only because they were good people. They were not only appointed because they met qualifications. They were not appointed because they were full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. They were appointed because they accepted the responsibility and task. The responsibilities and tasks were specific. I want you to understand, the primary thing I want from you is not good people. I want you to tell me who's going to do something. Who you feel like among yourselves is going to take care of some qualifications. Now that's going to eliminate a whole lot of things right there. I know you got some favorites. I know you got some people that you'd like to see doing this and doing that. But I want you to give me somebody that will do it. Not somebody you'd like to see do it. The response of the church. Saying please the whole multitude. See, when this was ministered to them, it pleased them. There was something in their spirit that went good. It was good. Well, that makes, I understand that. That's good. It pleases me. How many agree with that? That what I'm telling you right now pleases you. You understand this. Would you raise your hand and show me that this is either pleasing you or displeasing you? See, the response pleased the whole multitude. NIV says the whole group. And the statement found approval in ASV says in the whole congregation. Now that in itself is amazing. I've never found anything that pleased everybody. Amen, Lord. And then in verse 6 says, and whom they set before the apostles, the leadership, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. That word appoint. About done. Means to designate. We want somebody we can designate to do a specific job. And if they won't submit, and it's not going to be, they're not really not going to be submitting to me. We've been talking about this thing. I'm going to have an elder that's going to be over the deacon. They're not really going to be submitting to me. And if they can't do it, if they can't flow with us, if they can't work in the guidelines that we feel like in this designation. See, Paul says, let everything be done how? Decently and in order. There is an order. When people come into a house, they want to see an order. When people come in, they want to feel security. They want to come in. And if they can't do it and flow with us, then it won't work anyhow. We're just going to hurt them. They're going to hurt us. We're going to have all those problems that you have. And we want to avoid those things. We want people that we can designate to the job. They presented these men, NIV says, to the apostles who prayed and laid their hands on them. NASB says a very similar thing. But the apostles, the leadership, did it. All right, quickly on the deaconesses, and then we're done. I want to read to you out of a book from Kevin Connor that I have on the New Testament church. And what he's doing is he's quoting here from a lot of ancient writings that were written back in 100 A.D. The closest writings that we have to the church in the years are a little bit around 100 A.D. or 150 A.D. or something like that. When the churches were established, the closest writings that we have to the church that we want to emulate, these are the writings that Kevin Connor records. And I just want to read this to you because we're going to step into this. It is evident from church history that there were also certain women chosen to be deaconesses in the church. Some expositors suggest the qualifications laid down in 1 Timothy 3:11 could also be speaking of an order of deaconesses in the church. R.B.C. Howell, in his book, The Deaconship, comments on the historical evidences of the deaconesses. Female assistants to the deacons, usually called deaconesses, existed in the primitive church. They were ladies of approved character and piety. And their duty required them to minister to females under circumstances in which it would have been manifestly improper that the other sex should have employed. Their services were regarded as a very great importance, if not entirely indispensable. Ecclesiastical historians, the early father, and other writers refer to them frequently and familiarly. This guy here, for example, in his history of the first century, that's another book, introduces them thus. The Eastern churches elected deaconesses and chose for that purpose matrons and widows of eminent sanctity, who also ministered to the necessities of the poor, I don't know how that K got in there, and performed several other offices that tended to order and decency in that church. In another book, Documents of the Early Church, speak of two maidservants who were tortured, who were called deaconesses. Deaconesses were to assist women in baptism. Deaconesses were especially used in the art of anointing and to go into the houses of the heathen where there are believing women and to visit those who are sick and to minister to them that in which have that which they need, and to bathe those who have begun to recover from illnesses, from sicknesses. I wouldn't have you turn there, but I wish that you would, from sicknesses. I wish that you would. In Romans chapter 16 and verse 1, just to see what your version says. But it's talking there about a woman named Phoebe, who Paul is sending to Rome ahead of him. And Phoebe is such a ministry. And in 16:1 it says, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant. And that word servant there is the Greek word diakonos, which is what we've been translating as deacon. Okay? This is the same word. In other words, Phoebe, our sister, which is a deacon of the church, which is at Caesarea. Verse 2, that you receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business that she hath need of you. For she hath been a succorer of many, and of myself also. And if you have an NIV version on that word servant right there, you'll have a footnote, and you'll notice that the footnote says, or deaconess. Phoebe was a deaconess in the New Testament church. And then at Philippi, in Philippians chapter 1, in verse 1, it says, Paul and Timotheus, servant of Jesus. I know that, I don't know why I didn't get that enlarged. But anyway, they use the word there that he writes to all the saints of Jesus Christ, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Now, the word deacons there is that same word, diakonos, that's used here to explain what Phoebe does. Phoebe was New Testament church deaconess. I want you, would glance you, Monty, please, at that chair right there. There are 100 pages, 100 sheets. Please give all the adults one. What they're going to give you, it's not a ballot. It's not a ballet. Did I write ballet on there? Okay. But it's not a ballet. It's not a ballot either. I did, didn't I? I have a spell checker, but spell checkers don't pick up things like that. They don't understand. I want you over the next 2 weeks to give yourself to prayer and possibly even fasting if you feel it necessary. But what I'm asking you for is 5 people, men or women, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, that we can put over specific tasks. Let me give you a couple of tasks that we have need of here. We need somebody to take over the yard work. We need somebody that will just take that as a ministry, take care of the shearing of the shrubbery and the cutting of the grass, and maybe if they can't do it, they'll get it done. We need that. That's a ministry. Vi, over the years, has basically taken care of watching over the church. That needs to be specifically designated as the office of a deacon. We need people that will be ushers. And I'm talking about ushers and greeters at the door. Stand there with a Malachi. Greet people. Bring people in when we're standing in praise and worship. We have visitors coming in. They'll bring them in. Find them a seat. Show them where the bathrooms are, the nurseries are, all those things. People that will do that. People that will watch the kids running around inappropriately. We need that. We need people that will set up communion for us every week. And let that be as a ministry of a deacon. Those are just some of them. You may know some more. Those are some complaints I have. Those are some things that I'd like to see something done about. Maybe you've got some. So what I want you to do is give me 5 people. And then beside that, give me what you feel like they're good at. Brethren who we can assign to the task. Don't just give me 5 people. I want to know who you believe we can assign to the task. Over the next 2 weeks, we'll be receiving these. Next week, of course, Chuck Clayton will be here. And then the next week will be the last week. And then the eldership, we'll sit back, we'll look at it. We'll appoint those. We'll find out what you feel like your need is, what you feel like the church needs. We'll look at what we feel like the church needs. We're going to come to some conclusion. Now, does this please you? Okay? Did I do a good job explaining it? Man, I don't want 5 people. I want 5 people filled with Holy Ghost wisdom who we can assign to the task. Men or women. Make sure you heard that. Okay? So there's this thing about me in this city. It's a lie. Somehow I don't like women. I don't let them minister. That's a lie. But I want you to know that I want deacons. I want deacons. I want somebody we can assign to the task. All right. I want to pray, and then these guys are standing back here. I guess they're going to...